Let's start on page Reish Samaches, Simon Memches, Halacha Zayin. I'm reviewing very quickly the beginning of the Simon that we started yesterday. We're discussing bread. You can take bread. Once you have bread, a finished product, a delicious piece of bread, the bracha is Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. And now you want to destroy it. You want to destroy it. You can destroy it many ways. I think he gives here three examples. Either you destroy it, not destroy it, you transform it by cooking, / frying, or by pouring boiling water upon it, or by soaking. There are different methods you can take bread and ruin your original form of bread and transform it into something else. The big dilemma is, does it lose the shame lechem with regard to the birchas hamotzi and the requirement to wash netilas yadayim and the third requirement of reciting birchas hamotzi? So first it begins, zayin, lechem gomor, generally speaking, you have a piece of bread, it's lechem gomor, shebish le'etigno, if you cook or you fry, bechem in butter, uchadayim, or any other type of substitute, afilu hevir mimenu toya lechem, even if it no longer looks like bread, it has been transformed to the degree where it looks something going. Shetochu bebeitzim yismir with eggs. Im yesh repusa. What is the only critical condition? This is the yisoy for the whole simen. After you finish playing around, does it still have a kezias in the original? It's a little bit not clear. The article Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Mishnah, which fills in some of the details. Does it retain an original kezias? Im yesh beprusa kezias, the rule is called in lechem olav, and you have to recite netilas yadayim and hamotzi and birchas hamazon. The im ein bechol prusa kezias. But let's say it has no longer has an original piece of food that is a kezias, even though due to swelling and due to alteration, what you have in front of you is a kezias. It doesn't matter. Afal pi sha'al yidei habishul nafle, that's swollen. V'yesh b'chol perusa kezayis, but you don't have in that new perusa an original perusa that was a kezayis. O shenidbak, or even if all the little piece gets separated and now it's going to become reconstituted. Shenidbak al yidei habishol v'nase gush gadol v'afilu yesh aleim toyer lechem mikol mokon ein loy din lechem uvorchem alav rak borim nemezonis lachav al hamichya v'afilu ochal kedei sviya. So the rule is, if you start off with bread, and in the process, so you take bread and you put the bread and you cook it. You cook it in any type of liquid or fry it in butter, anything. And now the only thing that counts is if in this cooking process it dissolves or is broken up into pieces that are less than a kezias, even if they are reconstituted into something which is now the size of a kezias, it does not matter. It loses the status of lechem. You no longer recite hamotzi, you recite al hamichya, and you recite mizonos, even if you eat your kaveh asuda, because it's nishtahi nishtaher. It's not bread, and it's not pasa babi kistin. So there's nothing to talk about.
It must come apart.
At what point? Yes. It's not enough. Right, no, it must come, exactly. If it's soaked and if it retains an original size,
still the original shape.
It's still original kezias. It's retained. Dr. Fuchter.
Okay. Southern fried chicken.
Okay, we're getting to that soon. That's coming up a little later on. Okay.
What's an example?
Okay, what?
What's an example?
I was trying, and I apologize. I want to take Rabbi Banner's book or Rabbi Banner.
What's that?
Matzah, yeah, I guess maybe like French toast.
French toast looks like bread.
It doesn't matter. French toast looks like bread, but it has to have at least a kezias. Let's say you would soak it to such a degree where it would, right? French toast is always going to have a kezias. You're not really right. Okay, I don't know. I don't know the answer. It has to be cooked to such a degree where it breaks apart. It breaks apart, and you're left with pieces, chunks that are less than the size of a kezias. That's it. Even if later point in time we'll come back together, it doesn't matter. You're only going to make a mizonos and al hamichya.
Does this apply to other products like Pringles?
That's potatoes. No. So
the product.
The product there, it starts out as a mizonos, and then you put it back together.
Hadam.
No, there. Well, there's another dilemma. The other dilemma is if you turn it into powder. This is not. This is not like the place. Let's say cornflakes. What bracha do you make on cornflakes that comes from powder? The good quality, Kellogg's, so we mentioned this, the good quality cornflakes comes from real corn. They take corn, they crush it, it's never turned into powder. But the cheaper brands, the yeshivish brands, they are pulverized. It's corn that's been pulverized into flour, and it's been reconstituted. It's not so cheap, right? And it's been reconstituted, okay? It's been reconstituted, and it looks the same as Kellogg's cornflakes. So what bracha do you make? It's not so simple. Most poskim say you make a shahakol. You don't make a adama. Because once something has been pulverized into dust, it's been pulverized into, and then you reconstitute it, and it looks like you make a shahakol. Kellogg's, which is not Kellogg's, it's never pulverized into dust. It's corn just crushed and crushed. It never. Then you still make a bori pri adama. Do you apply this rule in every single case? Not necessarily. The classic example is the famous story of Moshe with potatoes, mashed potatoes that's made from powder. Right, they take potatoes, they turn it into a dust and turn it into a powder, and then you mix it with water, hot water, and you make mashed potatoes. So the story is, they asked Rav Moshe, what's the halacha? What bracha do you make on mashed potatoes that comes from a powder? Hot water. He said, shahakol. He said, they took the potato, they made it into a dust, they preserved it, and some, who knows, and then you have buy in a packet, pour boiling hot water, you mix it, and you got mashed potatoes. He said, shahakol. Then they showed it to him, and he said, you make adama. Ad kedei kach, if it's been reconstituted to such a degree where it looks like the original, you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference between mashed potatoes that comes from dust, from mashed potatoes that comes from real potatoes. It looks exactly the same. He said, you make adama. Now, cornflakes is not the same, because you look at a cornflake, unless you would know, I don't know, this comes from a corn? Corn seed? I would never know that. So Kellogg's also. Kellogg's, so you go buy cornflakes. So there, no, but since it starts out as corn and it's crushed and it turns into cornflakes, it has the same corn, you make a bori pri adama. But when you take corn and you make it into powder and you make cornflakes, which doesn't look like corn, it doesn't look like powder, so it seems there it's accepted that you make a shahakol. So I guess that seems to be the pretty much the rule. If you reconstitute powder into something which looks like the original, then you make the original bracha. But if you take a powder and you reconstitute it into something which looks a little bit different, and you really can't tell where it came from, then you make a shahakol. Now here we have...
So Pringles,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Pringles is a product... Absolutely, Pringles you make adama. Well, you heard you make a shahakol? Pringles? Potato chips.
That has no part of a potato.
You heard anyone heard you make a shah? I always heard you make a hadam on a potato chip.
On potato chip, yes, but on Pringles, no. Because Pringles, the whole chacham of Pringles is to have that unique same shape. How do I do that?
They soften it.
No,
they powder. So what are regular potato chips? How are regular potato chips made?
Are sliced.
And Pringles, they reconstituted?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. So that's what Rav Moshe said when it came to...
But if it looks like a potato chip, then you make that
dumb. Rav Moshe said by mashed potatoes...
Like a potato.
It looks like a potato chip. By mashed potatoes, I'm always saying you make a bori pri adama. That's what I've heard. You make a bori pri adama. So the Pringles, the chayra, it doesn't look like potatoes. It looks like potato chips. So what's a potato chip? You wouldn't know. You come from the moon. Yes, what is this?
When Pringles came out, it was a shock because you never had potato chips that were the same. Each one was different.
Yeah, of course.
This came in a box.
I know. I'm a fan.
Exactly.
I'm a fan.
They're exactly what you're eating.
You're preaching to the choir.
To the dust.
What's the point?
Did anyone hear that Pringles you make a shahakol? Did anyone hear such a thing? Is there anyone here that was taught to make a shahakol on Pringles? I never heard such a thing like that. Okay. It's a tough question. There are different things. You make a shakal. There are things that even though you reconstitute it, you still make adama. But we're not dealing with that. Your question deals with hadama. Hadama and eights. When you're dealing with bread, it's a different league. When you're dealing with bread, when you start out with the tsura of lechem is something that has been baked. Dough that has been baked is a hamotzi lechem in aretz. Now you are transforming the bread into something different by cooking it. when you cook it, it doesn't make a difference. If it's still a kezias, an original kezias in one location, you make a hamotzi lechem min aretz. If it crumbles and it's less than the size of a kezias, you make a borei min mezonos, even if those pieces which crumble are reconstituted into the size of an original kezias. If in the transformation process there is a point in time, it can go through many points in time, especially in commercial products, it goes through many different stages. But if in a point in time in the processing, the bread has been broken down into pieces that are less than a kezias and now have been reconstituted into the size of a kezias, you'll only make a mezonos, like a knedel. What is a knedel? A knedel, you start out with a piece of matzah. Right, isn't that what it really is? And the piece of matzah is a kezias, and it's lechem, the toyer of lechem. We don't go like the sardin, the pasah above the kistin. Matzah, well, no, but what happens? How do you get matzah meal? How does matzah meal exist? You start off with a piece of matzah. What is matzah? Matzah is halach, is bread. So what bracha would you make on the bread? You would make hamotzi lechem in aretz. You take that matzah and you crumble it. You grind it down into, you grind it out. But it's also that there, it's not being done. It's not a good example. We're going to come to the canal in a moment, but I just want to illustrate the concept. It's not a good example. But you've crumbled it. You've taken matzah and you've now crumbled it to pieces that are less than the size of a kezias. And now you've reconstituted it. So why do we say that? Since you reconstituted it, so now it's once again it's a kezias. It started out as hamotzi lechem in aretz, and now it's once again it's and the only time you can take away that hamotzi lechem in aretz only when you make it less than the size of a kezias. Really, you need to use a liquid. You need to use some heat and liquid or to transform it. Matzah meal is not a good example, but we'll discuss in a moment because there. And now you reconstitute it. So you should say, oh, since I reconstituted it now, we should restore it to its former bracha of hamotzi lechem in eretz because it's a kezias in one shot.
Reconstituted to a matzah.
Exactly. That's the answer. Exactly. To a new product. Once it loses its shame lechem, you never get it back. Exactly. Now that's exactly what it's saying over here. Now let's say you take a piece of bread and you destroy it not by cooking it, but by pouring boiling hot water upon it. You pour boiling, like a very sensitive bread, it seems. It's very delicate. And you pour boiling hot water, and by pouring boiling hot water, it now breaks up into pieces less.
You pour boiling water on a regular matzah.
And it breaks the pieces less than a kezias?
No, it doesn't break.
It becomes soaked up.
It has to actually break.
It disintegrates.
So here he says, this is a tough dilemma. It's not clear what the halacha is. Let me take a step back. Okay, one step back. If I take a piece of matzah or a piece of bread, and I take a knife and I cut a little teeny piece, like you go when you go wash, right? So they give you there a little teeny piece. It's less than a kezias. Oh, it's not a kezias. Look at that. I don't have to make hamotzi. You're defeating the purpose. I'm going there to wash, and they give me a little teeny piece. It's less than nonsense. The only time this rule applies, that if you take a piece of bread and you make into a size less than the kezias, it's no longer called bread, is only when it's through transformation of a chemical transformation of heat and water. You cook it, you fry it, you do something to it. But if you just take a piece of bread and you cut it into little pieces, that doesn't take away the shame lechem. You still must make hamotzi lechem in aretz. The only exception is matzah meal, because matzah meal is completely obliterated from any zecher that it was once lechem. Yeah.
The next step after matzah meal, you get matzah farfel, which is thinner.
Even thinner. Yeah.
Then you get cake meal, which
that's
is all
not the
cake
matzo.
Meal is made from matzah. Look at the ingredients.
Okay, but let's clarify this point. Let's clarify this. If I take a piece of bread or a piece of matzah and I break it into little... Okay, let's clarify this point. If I take a piece of bread and I break the bread into pieces that are small in the size of a kezias, teeny little pieces of bread, but it looks like bread. Let's not make any mistake now. It looks like bread. Do I still recite hamotzi lechem in aretz? Absolutely, of course I do. The only time that I'll have the power to remove the requirement to say hamotzi is if I make it into pieces less than a kezias through bishul cooking or tigun frying or the like. Now here. is my dilemma? I take boiling hot water and I pour it on bread. Is taking boiling hot water and pouring it on bread the equivalent? And by doing so, it causes the pieces of bread to break into little pieces less than the size of a kazayis. Does that have the status of cooking, which now we differentiate between a kazayis and less than a kazayis? Or is pouring boiling hot water on a piece of bread equivalent to me taking a knife and cutting into little pieces? It's not clear. That's what he says, and therefore you have no choice but to be machmir, and to assume pouring boiling hot water on a piece of bread and causing it to shred is like taking a knife and cutting into little pieces, and you still must make hamotzi, even if the result are pieces that are less than the size of a kezayis. That's the point he makes. V'im loy bishlo, you did not actually take the bread to make it into a size less than a kezayis. Ela she'ir aleihem roitiv, you poured liquid, reisech boiling hot liquid, have a safik bracha, mishum nim Safkulon e'iru, if pouring boiling hot water upon bread, choshev bishul in yinzeh, with regard to this matter of differentiating between a kezayis and less than a kezayis. If it's a kezayis, you still make hamotzi. If it's less than a kezayis, you'll make only bori minei mizonos. Ve'ein lechol, therefore, since we have no choice, this issue has not been resolved. Ve'ein lechol, zos el b'sech hasuda, only after you're doing the bread meal, when you already made hamotzi, now you can eat this as well, because it's a suffik brachos, you have no choice. Ve'im loy bishlon el, a new case. Now, as a third situation, let's say I didn't apply heat. I took a piece of bread, I soaked it. People do this for matzah mitzvah. They have no choice. They can't eat hard matzah, mm-hmm. and they soak matzah in water, yeah. and becomes very soft, and it turns into, it breaks into piece less than the size of a kezayis. V'im loy bishlon ela shiron b'mashkin oy merkach doma v'ein b'prusas kezayis, and now the matzah turns into pieces less than the size of a kezayis. B'zeh toloy im yesh b'chem toyer lo, here he makes a condition. If there's no heat, it's just soaking, and it breaks and it's soaking, and it's less than the size of a kezayis, you still chayiv to make hamotzi lechem in aretz if it looks like bread. When it comes to cooking, it doesn't matter. It can look like bread. I don't care. It looks like bread. If it's been cooked after I've baked it and the cooking caused it to break into little pieces, you make a mizonos. But if I didn't cook it, I just soaked it and it dissolved and it turned into pieces less than a kezayis, then and it still looks like bread, you must make hamotzi lechem in arach. Im yesh lechem tar lechem, havilu din lechem gomor. It's called lechem gomor. Vim ein lechem toya lechem, ein lechem lechem gomor. So on Pesach, if a person soaks his matzah because he has no choice, and it breaks apart into pieces that are less than excites, it's not a problem. It's still called matzah. It's because you've only soaked it, you have not. It still looks like matzah. It does not look like something else. And anything, if it does not look like bread, it's not called pasah babikistin. It does not fit one of the three descriptions of pasah babikistin. So even if you kaveh asuda, you're not going to make I'm not going to make a moitzi. Next, im nishtane mar hamashkin machmas haprusos. Now he says the one thing you can do. Let's say you're not sure. You take a piece of bread and you soak it, and the soaking causes the piece of bread to dissolve into pieces less than the size of a kezayis. So now you have to enter into the next question. Do the little piece that remain, do it look like bread? Does it not look like bread? I don't know. Tough call. I gather my whole family and we have do Skype. And I show this to every cousin that I have. we can't reach a conclusion if it looks like bread. So what do? In nishtanim mara hamash gemachmas apusos, we look at the liquid. If the liquid no longer looks like water, it's been discolored to the point where it looks like a soup or some type of who knows what, then that already is an indication that the pieces of bread are no longer have the tsur of lechem. Im nishtan emer hamashk machmas aprusos biyadun, you can be certain shenevad mehem toyar lechem, and therefore you no longer make hamoitzi. V'chein in nashu b'yayin edem, another condition, if you soak bread in red wine automatically ein lechem oitar lechem. So if the pieces are less than the size of the kezayis, that's a very important condition. He doesn't emphasize that point here, but the Mishnah Berurah fills in these details, and the article Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is very good, also fills in these details. All the conditions here are if you soak bread in red wine, so if you remain with the size of the kezayis, you must recite hamotzi lechem min haaretz. But if the soaking causes the pieces to break apart into pieces that are less than the size of a kezayis, then you will make a bari minei mizonos and al hamichya, even if you eat to your heart's desire. It's not called pasah babikistin.
What's wrong with the chemical reaction?
It doesn't matter. It's nishtana v'tzura. The fact soaking itself is considered in halacha chemical reaction. The fact that you soaked it, but it's not as powerful as cooking. There's no heat, so therefore you need an additional condition. The additional condition is it has to lose the tzura of lechem. When you cook it, you don't need that condition. If you cook something in water, so there's heat and there's water, automatically it lost its status of bread if it goes down to less the size of a kezias. When you soak, it doesn't automatically lose its status of bread unless it no longer looks like bread. Okay, so these are the basic conditions, but the common denominator of everything we've learned over here is you start off with a piece of bread. You start off with something which has been baked, and now you're trying to transform it into something different. And by transforming it into something different, you're trying to shake off the din hamotzi lechem in aretz tumizonos. That's not going away if you still remain with a piece of food which is the original size of a kezias. If the process of transformation results in it being in pieces that are less than the size of a kezias, we have to follow these conditions. And the conditions are, when it comes to cooking, if it's less than a kezias mizonos, when it comes to soaking, then the rules is that it has to have lose the tzur of bread. And when it comes to irui, if you've poured boiling hot water, it's a dilemma. We don't know what the answer is. And therefore, you have no choice but to be machmer and consider it to be regular bread like you cut up with a knife. And if you cut bread with a knife, you are going to be required to recite hamotz, even though it's less than the size of a kezias. Halachachas, isa. Now we're going to easier halachas. Dough. Now this dough, once you say the word isa, it's not yet bread. Because in order for something to be called bread, it has to be baked. Remember, in order for something to be called bread, that we require hamotzi lechem neretz, it must go into an oven. If you have dough, sheni lo yisha afil b'mayim, okay, water, it means afil b'mayim means it's not possible to kisnin. Because if you're kneading dough with fruit juices, you're already getting yourself into the issue that it's not called bread, it's called possible to kisnin, which is a separate category. But it's being kneaded with water, levad, ubishla. And guess what? You never took the dough and you never baked it. You cooked it. Do they do such things today? Such dishes today? Such types
bagels
of
times?
No, we discussed bagels yesterday. Yeah. Bagels are just a very light cooking. It's just the start. And the modern day bagels today, the amount of time they put it in boiling hot water is inadequate. It's nothing. It doesn't have any. It doesn't bake the dough. It's still called dough. So the ikar is the baking, the concluding portion of the baking. But here you never cooked it. You never put it in an oven. This dough never ever saw the inside of an oven. This dough was fully cooked. Was boiled. We're calling it cooked. Same idea. I feel b'mayim levad bishlam b'varcha love you. So what bracha do you make? B'varcha borei minei mizonos ula acharav al hamichya. I feelu ochal shiur sevia. Okay, that is what it says here in the Kitzur. Now, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, the Ramah in the Kitzur says that if you want to be machmir, you can. You can. You allow. It's a good thing, in fact, to recite hamotzi. And to recite the Birchas Hamazon. So it seems that there's a little bit of disagreement between the Mishnah Berurah and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch makes no mention of any chumrah. It's just a matter of fact. If it does not see the walls of an oven, it's mizonos. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that it's not muchruch. It can very well be that you can make hamotzi if you want. You don't have to. And you can recite hamotzi lechem in Aruch. But let's just focus now what it says here. V'chein grisin, grits. If you take anything which is taken for grains from and it's been cooked, it's not been baked. It's not the im ochlam imam. Now he's going into a new topic. He's discussing Hilchas Brachas, Ikar and Tofel. Right? So here he goes. Let's say you take you have a grit cereal. So you have mizonos, oats with milk, right? You have oats with milk, Quaker oats. Look, oatmeal, there it's...
He's talking about groats, that's kasha.
You have pieces of mizonos with a shahakal, some type of cereal. Let's talk in our terms. You have Cheerios. Okay? Cheerios and milk. What bracha do you make on Cheerios and milk? V'machlamim hamorak. with soup. Let's say you have a machol yisa. Okay, machol yisa means a product of dough. Shoichlam im hamorok. It's mizonos, which you eat with morok, or im acholov or milk. Shenispash luba. Different example where it was cooked. It was cooked. You have a mizonos that's been cooked in a liquid. Ein tzarich levarich al hamorok vehacholov. You don't make a shahakol. If you have Cheerios and milk, that will make it very clear. This from Rav Moshe. Kitchuk Rav Moshe says that if you have Cheerios and milk and you have a normal amount of milk, you don't overdo it. You put in the average amount of milk that a person puts in when you eat a bowl of cereal. You do not make a bracha shahakol on the milk. You only make a bracha on the mizonos. The mizonos is the ikar, and the shahakol is the tofel, and that's it. Kihema tefelim ubetelim ligabe mizonos, always the ikar. The aval and bishlo rak ma'al. But however, let's say you cook rak ma'at levivos oigris in a small amount of levivos. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, fine. Or mizonos. The ikur chavanos say rak b'shvil haroitev v'yacholav. But let's say you put in a lot of milk. This is our example of Cheerios and the same idea. You have Cheerios and milk, and you put in a lot of milk because I'm very thirsty and I want the calcium. That's what I want. I put in a little Cheerios to give the milk a little bit flavor. So then b'inyan ze einam b'tel v'baruch aleim shahakol. So then the ikur hadin. Now this is very confusing. There are many chalukei deos in this opinion. The ikur hadin. You only make a shahakol. You don't even need to make a mizonos, because the mizonos is a tofel, even with let's say it is a tofel to the shahakol, but a very important condition. The condition is every drop of shahakol that you have will include with it mizonos. You're never going to eat any of the mizonos alone. In other words, every spoonful will have a majority of milk. But if I am adding a lot of milk into the Cheerios, but I also want the Cheerios a little bit, then you have to make two brachas. Okay, let's read what it says and we'll explain. The afal pi shochel gam halavivos v'agrisin ein haroite v'achalav b'shvila ein haroite v'achalav. What does that word mean? Kevan shehem oikah b'telim means b'telim. I think it's a mistake. Ein b'telim. Ein haroite v'achalav. The gravy is not bottle, kevon shehem o ikar. The milk, the liquid, is the ikar, and therefore mikol makom. So mi ikar hadin, he says, if you have a taruvis of a shahakol, a liquid, a gravy, with a small amount of mizonos, and the mizonos is the tofel, mi ikar hadin, you only need to make a birchas shahakol, and you're done. Umikol makom, here is important. Kedei lasos al hatzad hayoyser toiv. The best thing to do is roy levorich techilo shahakol al haroitev o al ha cholov. First, make a shahakol on just a sip of milk, of the juice or the milk levad. The lishdos ksas the achar kach yivorich al halavivos on the mizonos o hagrisin borim in mnei mizonos shegam hema einam tilm. They're not going to be, if you eat it separately, then it won't be tofel. Afal pi shein hakavona b'shvilam, even though that's not your primary intent. Your primary intent is to drink the milk. Lithi shemindogon hu chashiv. Just the fact that this is called a mindogon in itself and it's upgraded to its own status of chashivus. The einoi nase tofel lehevsid b'rechasoi does not lose its bracha. Kol shaba litein tam b'keder. So this. So let's review what he says. And not everyone agrees to this chidushim. I'll point out what the mishmishmishmus, what the Rav Moshe says to do. But he's saying here that if you have a mixture, let's say have Cheerios and milk, and the ikur by you is the milk, the ikur hadin, the only thing you need to do is to make a shahakol. That's the ikur hadin. If you make a shahakol and you swallow some Cheerios with the milk, that's fine. However, according to the kitzur, it would be good to first just to make a shahakol on the milk, and then to take some Cheerios alone and make a borb named mizonos, even though in the big picture of things, you're only taking the mizonos to be a tofel to the milk, since you're eating it separate, and since dogon by itself has its own chashivas, you can make its own bracha. And there's a tremendous chiddush being taught here by the kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And what's that? Which bracha did you make first? Shahako. And you lower the laws of brachos, that's a cardinal violation of the law. When you have a mizonus, if you anyway going to plan on making two brachos, if you anyway I'm planning to make, should make the mizonos first. So since I'm planning to make two brachos, I should first take a cheerio and make a mizonos, and then take some milk. Okay, let's take a step back. If you can have just Cheerios and milk, and you can have a regular amount of milk, a standard amount of milk, even though you're thirsty, Moshe says, even though you also like the milk, and you're thirsty, you want the milk, but you're putting in the average amount of milk that accompanies Cheerios, it's clear in Halacha, you only make a mizonos, and that pot is everything. If you're putting in an abnormal amount of milk, you really want the milk a lot, and you also want the Cheerios, so if you really want both, and there's a lot of milk, then you make two brachas. What bracha would you make first in that situation? So Rav Moshe says you make mizonos first, and then shahakol. The situation, the kitzer, is where the mizonos is a tofel shebetofel. And when it's a tofel shebetofel, then you make the shahakol first and the mizonos. And the reason why is as follows. This is explained by the Machsa Shekel in Shulchan Aruch. Because in this instance, if you were to make the mizonos first, it can very well be your potter for making the shahakol. You have here a lot of milk and just five Cheerios. Okay, let's give a really extreme example. I have Cheerios and milk. Whole bowl of milk, five little Cheerios floating around in the bowl. So what should you do? Mikra din a shahakol, you're done. But al tzad hayoser toiv, make a shahakol, then take out one Cheerio and make a mizonos. Oh, if I'm making two brachas, let me make a bracha on the mizonos and then make a bracha on the shahakol. You know why you shouldn't do that? Because there are poiskim that hold. Once you make the bari minei mizonos and that one little Cheerio, one of four Cheerios, you don't no longer make a shahakol. Since the bottom line is there are five Cheerios floating in your bowl of milk, and it's dagon, and dagon versus shahakol is choshev, the bracha on the mizonos patters the shahakol. Oh, but the shahakol by me is the iker, so what? Are you eating it together? Is it in one bowl? It's in one bowl, they're together, and you made a mizonos, you finished the shahakol. We don't paskin like that. But we take that into consideration, at least that it should not be a bracha levatola. So therefore, what you should do is you should make a shahakol, because the shahakol definitely does not exempt you from making the mizonos. The mizonos has power to exempt you from a shahakol, but a shahakol does not have power to exempt you from a mizonos. So therefore, you have no choice but to make the shahakol and then make the mizonos. That's the chiddush of the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch according to the way the Machsa Shekel explains halacha. In the article Kiddush Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of the footnote, they quote Rav Moshe Feinstein. They says Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with this Kiddush Shulchan Aruch because there are different girsos in the Mogen. This is all based upon the Mogen Avram. Okay, I don't know all the pratim. It's over my head what this means, but it appears there are different girsos in the Mogen Avraham with different interpretations. And Rav Moshe says, even in this instance, you should first make the mizonos and then make the shahakol. So our example is, if you have a bowl of Cheerios, and you have a full bowl of milk, and five little floating Cheerios, according to Rav Moshe, you would make a bari minei mizonos first on one of the Cheerios, and then make a shahakol. According to the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, you should not do that. Because if you would make a bari minei mizonos first, technically speaking, you can't make it along with the shahakol. So what should you do? You should make a shahakol. But if I make a shahakol, I no longer need to make a mizonos. That's right. And indeed, according to the first opinion of the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, once you make the shahakol, you don't even make a bari minei mizonos. But since we have enough weight, the mizonos has enough weight to go on by itself, and you can make its own bracha. You can make the bracha afterwards, and that would indeed be preferred, because when you make the shakel, it's definitely not going to pat you from the bori minei mizonos. Okay, so this is the basic rule. We'll just discuss all those other things. What about if you put in bananas and other issues? So you put in fruit into your cereal. As Moshe says, you must make a separate bori prio eitz or bori prio adama on the fruit or vegetables that you put into your cereal. Cereal and milk, if you want to make it, if you only put in a regular amount of milk, you don't make a shahakol, you make mizonos. But you put in a banana, you have to make a special bracha, a special bari priyo eitz. Banana, bari priyo dhamma. Whatever you put in, you need to make a special bracha, bore priho eitz or bore priho adama on fruits or vegetables that you put there. They are not considered to be bottled to the to be bottled to the cereal. Okay, so those are the basic rules of cereal and milk. Okay, let us, where are we up to? We're up to, let's see, we have the test. Let's do one more halacha very quickly. One more halacha. Macholim sha'isim. Halacha test. Macholim sha'isim mimatzah kisusha. Oy milechem mefura. Kinedul o. I don't know what that other word is.
Kremzel.
What's a kremzel? Okay. Shemarv ma'isam b'shumen. Now here is the key. The key point is shemarv ma'isam b'shumen u'beitzim v'cholav v'goyvlim u'mavashlim oy mitag ma'isam mevarchem aleihem borei minei mizonos u'lachrei malamichya. A knedel matzah meal. The reason why you make a borei, the reason, technically speaking, when you going back to what we learned before, if you have a piece of bread, a piece of matzah is hamotzi lechem min aretz. If you pulverize it, if you make it into smaller little pieces, even less than a kazayis, you still need to make hamotzi lechem min aretz. However, if you pulverize it into powder. So then already it lost the shame lechem. You would make on powder, you would definitely make a borei minei mizonos. If a person wants to eat raw matzah, I don't know why someone would want to do that, but if you want to snack on raw matzah meal, what bracha would you make? Well, you argue, well, I didn't transform it through cooking or through pouring hot water or through soaking, so you can argue you should make a hamotzi lechem in aretz. No. It completely lost the shame lechem. It has been pulverized to flour, to dust. So even though it starts out as bread, and there has not been any chemical change of heat and water, it could be right. If you can still detect it, it's right. If you do have a very coarse matzah meal where you view it as bread, you would be required to make hamotzi lechem in aretz. That's absolutely correct. But if it completely loses the tzura of lechem, then you make a borei minei mizonos. But here's the big question. If you reconstitute it back into what it looks like lechem, maybe in that case you should make a borei minei hamotzi lechem. The answer is no. And certainly the only way you've reconstituted is by adding all of these foreign ingredients, by adding shumen and adding eggs and milk or other types of things to reconstitute it. Once it lost its surah of lechem, it never gets it back, and it's now going to be called mizonos and al hamichya. Yeah.
Is that likewise wheat germ?
Anything. Anything which starts out as bread that lost its shein lechem. You can lose sach hakol, we learned today, there are many ways to lose lechem. You can use lechem easily by cooking, and it must lose the size of a kazayis, or by soaking, and it loses the tzura of lechem, or by pulverization, also lose the shein lechem, and now even though you've reconstituted it to the size of a kazayis, by making a knedel, the bracha will only be mizonos, it will no longer be hamotzi lechem in aretz. Okay, those are the basic rules. We'll stop here, we'll take a little break. Farfel? No. It's farfel is barley.
Matzah farfel.
Is that how Moses?
No.
It's still not the
No.